From Jack Hopkins Now. Before the smoke cleared, he was already selling you the ballroom. The Jack Hopkins Now newsletter, #880, Sunday, April 26, 2026. You already know what happened. A man with a shotgun, a handgun, and multiple knives charged a security checkpoint at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last night. A Secret Service agent took a round to the vest and is alive because of it. The President of the United States and the First Lady were rushed from the head table while a mentalist named Oz Perlman stood frozen on stage. Hundreds of attendees in black tie hit the floor. The shooter, Cole Allen, 31, of Torrance, California, is in custody and will be arraigned Monday. That's the story you've been hearing all morning, and even now it's the story cable news has been running on a loop since 8:30 last night. It's the story your uncle is texting you about right now. But that's not the story. While agents were still securing the building, while investigators were still mapping his path through the lobby, while the Secret Service agent was still being checked for injuries beneath the vest, the President of the United States was on Truth Social. Not just praising the agents, not just reassuring the country, selling. What happened last night is exactly the reason that our great military, Secret Service, law enforcement, and, for different reasons, every president for the last 150 years have been demanding that a large, safe, and secure ballroom be built on the grounds of the White House. This event would never have happened with a militarily top secret ballroom currently under construction at the White House. He went further. He called for the active federal lawsuit against the ballroom construction to be dropped immediately. A gunman just tried to kill him, and within hours, his political operation was demanding a federal lawsuit be dropped to clear the way for a construction project. Meghan McCain, daughter of John McCain, posted that she didn't want to hear one more King criticism of Trump's new ballroom. Andrew Colvett, executive producer of The Charlie Kirk Show, amplified the same line. And then, and this is the tell, Democratic Senator John Fetterman joined them. "We were there front and center," Fetterman wrote on X. "That venue wasn't built to accommodate an event with the line of succession for the U.S. government." After witnessing last night, drop the TDS and build the White House ballroom for events exactly like these. A Democrat, on the ballroom side, telling fellow Democrats to drop their objections. That's not consensus. That's choreography. The ballroom is under federal injunction. A federal judge, George W. Bush appointee Richard Leon, not exactly a leftist firebrand, ruled on March 31 that the president is the steward of the White House for future generations of first families. He is not, however, the owner. He blocked above-ground construction. He said the project requires congressional authorization. He called it the wholesale demolition of entire buildings and construction of new ones, a kind of project no statute gives the president authority to do alone. The Trump administration appealed. The D.C. Circuit kicked it back down. Judge Leon issued a revised order on April 16, 9 days ago, blocking above-ground work but allowing below-ground national security construction to continue. A hearing is scheduled for June 5, because how do you go into a courtroom on June 5 and argue that the president doesn't need a fortified ballroom 6 weeks after a gunman charged him at the Washington Hilton? You don't. That argument died last night. He said the Hilton is not a particularly secure building and tied that to his ballroom under construction with drone-proof protections and bulletproof glass. The roof is drone-proof. We have secure air handling systems. We have biodefense all over. We have secure telecommunications and communications all over. We have bomb shelters that we're building. We have a hospital and very major medical facilities that we're building. A ballroom with biodefense, with bomb shelters, with a hospital. You're not building a ballroom. You're building a fortress and calling it a ballroom because ballroom is the word that lets you skip Congress. You should know the context. DHS has been in a partial shutdown since mid-February over an unrelated standoff between Republicans and Democrats about immigration enforcement. Republican Representative Mike Lawler told CNN security at the dinner was inadequate and called for fully funding DHS. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche called the shooting a wake-up call for Congress to do the same. Some of that is sincere. Some of it is opportunistic. The DHS fight is real and predates last night. But notice how seamlessly the shooting got grafted onto an existing political demand and then onto a separate existing political demand involving the ballroom within the same news cycle. That's not one operation. That's a pattern of operations. Two completely different policy fights, both of them losing fights for the administration, as of Friday afternoon are now being repackaged as security necessities by Sunday morning. That's the pattern. That's what I want you watching for. In 1981, John Hinckley Jr. shot Ronald Reagan on the sidewalk outside that same hotel. he shot James Brady Reagan's press secretary in the head. Brady survived but was permanently disabled. His wife, Sarah Brady, spent the next 3 decades pushing for a federal background check system on firearm sales, work that became the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act, signed into law by Bill Clinton in 1993. In 2000, the White House press briefing room was renamed in James Brady's honor. A man's life, a widow's mission, a national law that has prevented hundreds of thousands of prohibited firearm purchases. A briefing room with his name carved into the wall where every press secretary of every party has stood since. A demand to drop a lawsuit and clear the runway for a construction project. That's the difference between a republic that processes its tragedies and one that monetizes them. July 2024, Butler, Pennsylvania. A bullet allegedly grazes Trump's ear. Corey Comparator is killed. The narrative becomes Secret Service failure, DHS budget shortfall, the need for hardened protective detail. September 2024, West Palm Beach. A man with a rifle in the tree line at Trump's golf course. The narrative becomes expanded protective perimeters. April 2026, Washington Hilton. The narrative becomes build the ballroom faster, with fewer checks, and drop the federal lawsuit standing in its way. Three security events. Three pre-built policy demands. Each one delivered fully formed within hours of the event itself, as if the event was the missing ingredient and the demand had been sitting on the shelf waiting. You don't need to be a conspiracy theorist to notice this. You just need to be paying attention to when the talking points arrive. Is bulletproof glass reasonable? Of course it is. Should the president be safe? Of course he should. Are bomb shelters defensible? Yes. Because while you're debating whether security upgrades are good, which is a debate they win automatically, the actual question goes unasked. Why is every national security shock in this country being routed through real estate decisions controlled by one family, with no congressional oversight, against a federal court order, paid for by undisclosed private donors? That's the question. That's the only question. And nobody on cable is asking it. But last night was different. Last night was the cleanest, most undisguised example I've ever seen of a real-world tragedy being converted in real time before the blood dried into a political asset. The agent in the vest is a hero. The journalists who kept reporting from the floor are heroes. The Hilton staff who got people out are heroes. And for any of them had even processed what just happened to them, the Truth Social posts were already up, first praising Secret Service, then by morning.